It's Thursday, May 8th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central. This is show number 947, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get 32% off at GoDaddy or pick up a domain name for $2.95. All my specials can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Hey, folks, I got a great show lined up for you. I mean, a lot to cover. I mean, the amount of tech I have tonight is like, holy smokes. So strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Hey everyone, welcome to Geek News Central. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. I'm glad to be here with you tonight. Got a great show lined up for you. And if you're new to the podcast, I want to welcome you. And if you're a longtime listener of the show, thanks for being here as well. And we want to encourage you, of course, to get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content over there. Really, our writers have been doing a great job over on Geek News Central, putting stuff up. We've got lots of audio and video content, too, as well. Gadget Professor produced his latest show earlier today. And then, of course, we had Robot Underpants earlier in the week. So lots of stuff going on in the tech and news and commentary side. So you want to make sure you get over there and get subscribed, really, to all the shows part of the network. And you can do that via the second column of the website. You can also get signed up for our newsletter. The newsletter is really the best way to stay engaged with the show on a twice-weekly basis, because what I'm going to do is immediately following the show today, I'm going to send off a mailing that will contain all the links and information about today's show, a link to the audio version as well. But, of course, you can always come over to geeknewscentral.com and grab the content over there. Hey, of course, I want to give a warm welcome to all of the Ohana, all of the longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Being that I'm here in Hawaii, Ohana means family. So again, for the new folks, welcome as well to the Ohana is it for yourself as well. Hey, you can reach me on Twitter. Really, that's a great way to get hooked up at Geek News, or you can just email me here at the show at geeknews@gmail.com, and that will basically get right into my inbox and you can provide feedback on the show as well. Well, as you can see, we've got a few new camera angles for those of you who are watching. Spent some time working here in the studio, real specifically last night, and the camera are close. From a dial-in standpoint, the center camera is still giving me a huge amount of issues. But one thing that we're employing here now, and for those of you that are watching, is I was able, you know, and Jamie Davis, the Podmedics, recommended this contraption right here recently. And I know you probably can't see this real well. Let me change to this camera view. Yeah, that's a little better. And what this is it's a Manfrotto, let me see if I can get the part number. It's a 196B2. This whole assembly is about $65, I guess. And it typically can be used to be mounted on top of a rail. But the way I'm using it is I'm hooking this to a table, to the back of this table, and then adjusting these arms. These go up and down, sideways. And then I'm mounting some of the smaller cameras that we're using on here. Now, I tried to mount, what my goal was to get the big camera about 4 inches closer. And you think, okay, 4 inches, that's not a lot of distance, but it is. When you're working in a small studio, like making a big noise, dropping the thing. So I was trying to get the focal length of this camera in here just a little bit tighter. It just didn't work. The big camera's too heavy. And it basically vibrating, whereas the smaller cameras are fixed. They don't move. They're real good. So got an angle here, and I got a new angle here. I'm real happy with this setup. If you look, see if I can bring this up on the cam. Is it focused? It doesn't look like it's focused. Let me move the camera a little bit. Oh, how come it's not focused? Will that camera focus? Okay, there it goes. So let me bring up the other camera. Now, those of you that are watching, you can see they're here, here, and here. So they're really spaced pretty close right in front of me. And even this camera, my shirt color, looks a little different than the camera view here. But anyway, it's just a little bit of a change. I kind of like it. It's going to give me some new opportunities. And I think this camera view here is the one I like the most. With it, actually does a pretty good job getting the Ohanasaurus Skype machine in for our Saturday call. So I'll probably be using that one a lot more, just like the angle. And we'll see how it works out this coming Saturday. But this coming Saturday on the new media show, we will have with us Dave Jackson from School of Podcasting. He'll be on to talk really about what he's doing in the new media space. I look forward to having him on. But, you know, I told you guys last year that we're going to do minimal upgrades to the studio this year. And my budget is very, very small for upgrades. And this kind of fit into, you know, getting the, and it basically clears up the area behind a little bit better. And all I got to do now is try to get rid of this tripod. So this kind of fits into the scheme of everything that I have planned for this year. Again, very minimal changes, but these changes would not be possible without our good friends over at GoDaddy, who sponsor the show. And I'm going to tell you, they have some incredible, incredible deals for you. And I'm just so excited to be able to share several of them with you. And of course, you can find all of my promo codes for everything that I do. Let me see if I can hit the right button here at geeknewscenter.com/GoDaddy. And all the codes are there, 32% off of your new purchases by using the promo code GO32OFF1, 25% off your orders with a new top-level domain, 50% off new hosting plans, 50% off website builders, $295 again for the .coms, 10% off on the fountain. Now, you guys use this code. I just was totally shocked how many people actually use this code. And I, you know, some folks out there listening to the show have a business, wanted to save some money, and it worked out well for them. So I'm pleased. And then $1.99 for economy hosting, $1.99 a month. We got 20% off on renewals by using promo code GO20OFF2. So just a few codes for you to use there, again, over at GoDaddy. But, you know, really, again, we want you to take some time and get over to GoDaddy.com, pick up some products and services. And those new top-level domains, don't forget, will work with that 25% off code that I have. I've got a transition. Those of you that are watching, there was definitely a transition set that I'm not real happy with, but it's too late to make the switch now. So you guys will get the star effect on the transitions here for a little bit. So I think that's really everything for GoDaddy. Again, geeknewscenter.com/GoDaddy. All right, let me, a pile, absolute pile of stuff to talk about tonight. Let me make sure I get through my short stack here. I want to thank all of you that are insiders that continue to contribute to the show. It's really, I just want to say thanks for your ongoing support. And if you haven't become an insider yet, consider doing so. At 6.7 cents a day, you can support the show at the $2 a month level. And basically geeknewscenter.com/insider. Definitely check that out. Really what's going to happen is the insiders this year will pay for the majority of the upgrades that we're doing to Geek News Central, the infrastructure, and everything else. So that's a big part. You know, typically it costs me on an annual basis with hosting and server costs, close to around $5,000. And the insiders this year will basically cover that expense. and really making a big difference here. So we want to thank all of you for that and definitely appreciate your continued support here. Okay, you guys may have noticed, and this is not a pitch, but I hope all of you, and I should have said this on the last show, I hope all of you got some flowers for your moms. we've got a ProFlowers link on the webpage. This is helping out one of our podcasters that's running a ProFlowers campaign with us right now. If you didn't order, it might be too late, but if you need it delivered, you can still do it. You're just going to have to probably pay a little bit more, but my mom got a dozen roses from ProFlowers today. $19.99 was the cost of the roses, and then a delivery fee and some tax, but she texted me and said, oh, thank you, and don't forget mom. Don't forget mom, folks. And husbands, don't forget to take your kids out and get a Mother's Day gift for your lovely wife as well. So just wanted to pitch that. If you forgot, get on my website and order from proflowers.com right now, and you'll help out one of our podcasters that is currently in a campaign with them. You can use a promo code INVESTOR over at proflowers.com if you want to help him out. All right, so let me go ahead and get stuff off the stack here, and let me get ready to get into the regular tech. Seems like there's something I wanted to tell you folks tonight. I guess not. Oh, most important thing. So here's the deal. My daughter is graduating on May 22nd. So that's 2 weeks from today. And I have family that's going to be flying in on the 19th. They're going to be here all week. So there's still going to be a Monday evening show on the 19th. But there will be no show the night of the 22nd, the night my daughter graduates. Now, next week, Thursday, is one of these things. It's a perfect storm. There's like five things that we have to do between like 4 p.m. Thursday afternoon and about 10 p.m. And it's going to take basically every member of this family to get that done next Thursday. So for the next two Thursdays, there will not, as far as I know right now, there will not be a show. And it's really, I don't like to do 2 weeks in a row where I miss a show, but it's the perfect storm. I think you guys can forgive me for the daughter's high school graduation, but the other situation was just something we couldn't reschedule. There was no way to get around it. So just to be advised, that's what's forthcoming. I should be back on the regular schedule after that. I am planning a vacation the week after the 4th of July, so there probably will be no shows that week as well. Maybe I get someone to stand in. Maybe the graduate professor come in and do a show. But, it's have to take a vacation once in a while, and the families, we're all headed to California for a few days. Son's in a soccer tournament, so we're just going to, kind of double up. I fly out of here on July 3rd. But that's what's going to happen here over the next couple of weeks. No Thursday show. Be with you, of course, on Monday and, of course, on Saturday. But it just couldn't be helped. It's just the way it is. And been with you guys for 9 years, going on 10. So I know that you'll cut me a break here. So let's go ahead and... what was that? Oh, I know what I did wrong. All right, let's get into the regular tech. And I mean, I've got a stack of stuff. It's... let's go into some emails first before we do that, and I'll get through these pretty quick. Got an email from Jeff. He says The Verge has reported that Apple's considering buying Beats for $3.2 billion. That was all over the news today. We'll talk a little bit about that later in the show. At the same time, MS Small Biz sent me a link. He says, "Hey Todd, not really a show topic, but thought you might be interested in this." It's basically the Navy published a series of glass plate photographs from the Spanish-American War after a rare find was rediscovered this year. So some pretty cool images that are up on a Flickr site. I'll have those up in the show notes. You guys know I collect Navy memorabilia. If you ever have Navy memorabilia you want to sell, let me know, because I'm a purveyor of that kind of stuff. As well, Jim sent an email and said, Todd, hey, the International Space Station camera is now offering a gorgeous live view of Earth. And I was going to cover that as well on the show today, but we'll have that in the show notes. It's an amazing video stream. I let it run here today for about probably 10 hours. And it was just cool to kind of look up and you could see what the folks on the International Space Station were seeing. And so very, very cool. So thanks, Jim, for sending that. Jeff already sent me another email saying, huge coalition led by Amazon, Microsoft, and 50 other tech companies are taking a stand against FCC and net neutrality. We'll have some of that discussion tonight as well. Got an email from Greg, and he said, hey, Todd, been listening to GNC since double digits under episode 100 and thought you might find this interesting. Not sure if you ran across this, but it seems interesting to me. 3D printed glasses with the Raspberry Pi interface. And I was going to bring this up on the website here so you guys could see this. So, yeah, there we go. So it's a do-it-yourself 3D printed Google Glass with Raspberry Pi. So I have that up for you in the link as well. And on our pilot article that we had on the last show, Jack, our longtime listener, of course, Jack is a retired American Airlines. He was the senior pilot at American Airlines. And Jack's been retired a number of years, mandatory retirement age. But Jack says, hey, Todd, regarding a story on the U.S. military's development of pilot optional, I've seen this coming for most of my career. The military has been pushing this for over 40 years that I know of. When I was in training in the A-7 at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base in Tucson, Arizona, we shared the base with a C-130 detachment that carried and deployed drones. And this was in the 1970s. Now, with weaponized drones used in Afghanistan, the transition to full-scale helicopters for supply missions in combat zones is the next logical step. The upside to this is that helicopters can be hardened and our troops can get much-needed supplies, even when it would be too hazardous for piloted aircraft or problems with limited manpower or pilot shortages. I'm afraid this is the future of military aviation. Yes, mechanical failures and accidents will happen. And I'll tell you, most of the accidents that happen for the military guys flying helicopters today is during that transition, you know, that flight to transition phase. They're coming in. All it takes is one knucklehead with an RPG, and it really ends up being a bad day for helicopter pilots. And we've lost a huge number of guys in that transition phase or offloading. But if you've got a drone that's coming in and, you know, the guys need a resupply mission, they need more ammunition, food, whatever it may be, you can risk the drone to bring it in and not risk an air crew. So I understand their need on that. Also, he goes on to say the future of civilian aviation. He says, I don't think it will be politically palatable to have large unmanned aircraft flying in domestic airspace, but I've seen this progression to reduced aircrew push for over 30 years. The Boeing 767 was the last aircraft initially designed with a flight engineer. Then the FAA removed the requirement for a flight engineer on large aircraft. The 767 was in mid-development and had a flight engineer station, but airlines started ordering the 767 without the flight engineer, and to this day, the remnants of flight engineer station is still in each 767. Currently, the FAA has a single pilot commercial aircraft certification for aircraft under 12,000 pounds. With automation improvements, I expect the next step up to that maximum weight to eventually move it, so the pilot will eventually be the backup to onboard automation. I don't like it, but this seems to be the direction aviation is going. Jack, thanks, Jack, for that. You know, and I think, Jack, what it is for the most of the flight, the pilots are there to make sure that just for safety of flight, they engage the autopilot. Now, don't take that the wrong way. They engage the autopilot, set the course in the inertial nav system. And really, if everything's working fine, the airplane basically, from the time you get to cruise altitude to where you get to start descending, it's kind of somewhat on its own. You know, you may tweak a flight or an altitude for a turbulence or something else here or there, but at the same time, really the two places where the pilots are needed are the transition and the descent, I guess, ascent and descent. But, you know, and if you have one pilot that's just landing all the airplanes or 10 instead of, you know, you may just end up with somebody in the airplane for nothing else to, make sure that put out fires and pull circuit breakers. Who knows? But thanks for your input on that, Jack. Now we'll get into the tech And let's go ahead and move into the topics at hand. And everyone, thanks for your emails. Gee whiz, lots of good stuff this show. And this is what I love. I love when you guys send me lots of emails with lots of links. It really, it's really cool. And we definitely appreciate when you do that. All right, so let me load this up. And I'm going to start right off. We're gonna get down and dirty right here at the beginning of the show. This was a hearing that was held today. Today, Cogent CEO David Schaefer made a different argument in front of a select judiciary committee, which was a hearing on Comcast plan acquisition of Time Warner. He basically says Comcast is the one who should pay for network connections. He did so, again, while testifying in front of the House Judiciary Committee. Schaefer pointed to the fact that Comcast is not considered to be a so-called Tier 1 network. He says there's a dozen or so Tier 1 networks that make up the closest thing the internet has to a backbone. Tier 1 networks can reach every part of the internet simply by peering with one another. Other networks by transit in order to access the rest of the internet. Peering is a point-to-point connection only, which doesn't necessarily guarantee passage of traffic to any networks beyond the two involved in the connection. He says Comcast does not operate a global network. In fact, it should be buying connectivity to the global internet, but has it used its market scale and scope to extract an unusual concession. Now, just listen to this. Schaefer told members of Congress that in the early days, it wanted free connectivity, peering to the internet, even though it didn't operate a global network. It didn't carry its fair load. And basically, we're talking about the two-way traffic. Because it represented so many customers, backbone operators like Cogent and others who then agreed to peer with them. But then that wasn't good enough for Comcast, as Comcast's market power continued to increase and consumers had less choice. We've talked about less choice on this show a lot. They eventually started demanding payments for connectivity. So here they're they ask, oh, please, 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 please give us peering. Please give us connectivity. They did. They hooked them up. And then later on, they said, oh, we're too big to fail. Now get your checkbook out and write us a check. A larger Comcast will be able to demand even greater payments. So this got nasty. Now, in today's congressional hearing, a joint written statement by Comcast Executive VP David Cohen and Time Warner Cable CEO Robert Marcus said that Comcast has a long record of working cooperatively with other compliance companies on interconnection, peering, and transit. So, but they got their hands out after charging you for access to the internet. So what this is, what they're truly trying to do is they're trying to do, what's the goal here is ultimately is to change the status of Time Warner Cable, Comcast, Charter, all these other folks, and make them more like AT&T, make them like Verizon, and there's a whole different set of rules when that happens. They're fighting that. They don't want that to happen. Now, this hearing went on, and Comcast, Cogent basically said Comcast forced Netflix with clever traffic clogging. Wow. He said they forced Netflix to have to go and directly enter a contract with Comcast, paying a higher price for a less robust product. That's not a free market. That's an abuse of market power. Of course, the Comcast folks came back. That's a totally inaccurate description of what happened. We slowed down their traffic and said, pay us a toll. we did not force Netflix to enter into an integration deal with us. That was Netflix's idea, he said. It was their desire, given the size of their traffic, to cut out the middleman. The middleman happened to be Cogent, by the way, and to deal directly with us. Separately, Comcast said in a statement that backbone and transit markets are very competitive and the Time Warner Cable merger won't alter them. So it's a he said, she said situation right now that's going on. And I mean, the gloves are flat out off. It's huge. Now, it gets even better. It gets even better. Time Warner Cable has made an hilariously absurd argument for the merger. They say there's competition in the network. The CEO, Robert Marcus, from Time Warner Cable, says, I would also note that mobile wireless is rapidly becoming a viable alternative to cable broadband, given the ever-increasing capabilities of LTE, as well as continued advances in compression technology. What a whopper. What a whopper. Okay, you know, I've got a little little MiFi, and it's in my bag behind me here. And that thing pisses me off every day I use it. When I'm out and about, I'm resetting it. I'm having to look at it, make sure it's working. Sometimes it doesn't work. I have to go and tether off my phone on the same network. I mean, just some stuff is just absolutely insane. And this guy is saying that mobile is a viable alternative. I pay $80 for 10 gigs of data on that Verizon MiFi a month. To call wireless broadband a current competitor to cable is beyond an insult, an absolute lie. You know, it's crazy. If I could ditch, do you think I could ditch my cable modem for a MiFi for my home? Mobile networks are not anywhere near any kind of a competitor. Do you think I could watch a Netflix movie in HD over a network? Well, maybe once. And here's the best part. Comcast cannot tell lawmakers that the Time Warner deal will lower cable bills. Lawmakers question Comcast and their proposed Time Warner grab today, asking how the company felt it would benefit consumers. The $45 billion deal, expected to affect some 20 million users, has lawmakers concerned consumers will not see any benefit. They're also fearing we could see already high cable bills inflate. Asking how Comcast would stem the cost of cable for consumers, Representative Susan DelBene, Democrat of Washington, said, "You said that you don't expect this transition to have an impact on prices. What can be done to help lower prices?" David Cohen, Executive Vice President of Comcast, couldn't give an answer. Instead offering, "The deal has the potential to slow the increase in prices." No, this is how the deal has the potential to slow the increase in prices. Yeah, to what rate? He did go on to say a significantly improved customer experience would be an important plus for this deal to the Time Warner Cable customers. Comcast offers better Wi-Fi, more programming choices, faster internet. So it's just, boy. You know, when I was a kid living on a farm, we had this thing called a manure spreader. And there's a better term for it. And basically what you would do is you would back it up to the building. And back in those days, I had a pitchfork. I didn't have anything fancy like a Bobcat or something like that, where I went in with a machine and then dumped the manure into the manure spreader. I had to do that by hand. So every time that the manure spreader would get full, I would drive it out in the field, and there was this little PTO I would turn on, and it would start spinning. And it had a little chain thing in it that would push the manure into the spinner in the back. And the for a better word, the shit would fly everywhere. It would just go, it would 25 to 50 feet in the air, and it would spread all over the place. And you would drive, and it would just spread that manure. And, you know, after a hard day's work, you had half a field basically fertilized. What's been going on in these conferences is the biggest manure spreader you have ever seen in your whole life. And this thing has got a constant feed of crap that's spewing manure everywhere. As someone says in the chat room, Comcast has bought and paid for too many politicians. This merger buyout is a done deal. Oh, it probably is. But we can have fun with it until it happens and we all get screwed. All right. Stop. Change topics. Apparently, an FCC commissioner has asked Tom Wheeler to delay the net neutrality vote. So there's some people that are concerned. And, well, they should be. A number of companies have come out and basically said, this is bad. This is going to hurt small companies like mine, startups, and so forth. They've been very public about this. So the net neutrality stuff is under attack, even by another FCC commissioner, which is an interesting development. Usually those folks are thick as thieves. I don't know who was appointed by who and what their political makeup is, but we're definitely seeing, how should we say it? Dissension within the ranks. Oh, man. Gotta love it. Let's move on here. Oh, this is the best one of the day. And this is a surprise. House Intel Committee surprised everyone by passing a version of the USA Freedom Act, unexpectedly pushing it into the Senate for a vote. Actually, is it in the House of Representatives, excuse me. The version passed is the same text as cleared by the House Judiciary Committee on Wednesday, according to Intelligence Committee spokesperson. Oh, it was the House Intelligence Committee, excuse me, spokesperson Susan Palin. The markup was closed to public, but Palin said the bill was approved on a voice vote. Lawmakers did not consider the committee's own reform bill, the FISA, Transparency and Modernization Act, backed by Chairman Mike Rogers and Ranking Member Dutch Rupsberger, even though they were scheduled to do so. The Intelligence Committee passage of the USA Freedom Act indicates it will be the legislative vehicle for the future activity in the House on surveillance reform. However, it does not rule out that members, including those on the Intelligence Committee, may seek to amend the bill later in the legislative process. And also, we don't know if this thing even gets through the House and Senate, if the president will even sign it. Some people think the president will not sign this bill, even if it goes through the full process and it's voted on. This may not ever make the light of day, and it may be a political move to try to keep the us sheep in check while they, while it's election time. That's, that could be the story there. So we'll see where this goes. We'll keep you advised and we'll follow. I'm telling you, there was some good stuff in tech today. Now, if you're worried about being spied upon while you're walking down the street, there's a new company that has come out with a very interesting product. It's called, and let me get this ready for you. You guys are gonna laugh when you see this thing. It's called the anti-surveillance mask. So this thing lets you pass as someone else. And it's basically a prosthetic that allows you to, you wear this thing. Everyone could be Agent Smith. The rubber mask that people are buying is aimed at foiling surveillance cameras featuring, basically different characters. And the company that's building these are hoping that people will buy these in mask. Chicago-based artist Yurme Surveillance is a venture dedicated to protecting the public from surveillance and creating safe space to explore our digital identities. Now, I would love just to have one of these to put one of these on during the show just for a little fun. They're having an Indiegogo campaign, and so far they've raised just only $500 of its $1,000 goal with 36 days left. Products include a dollar paper mask for those unable to afford the $200 prosthetic, as well as community development hacktivist kits of 12 to 24 paper masks meant to be worn by groups, presumably protesters or anyone into clone armies. URME insists all products will be sold at cost with no profit made and all proceeds going to sustain their efforts to keep surveillance in the public disclosure. These things are weird. But they would be fun to, you know, it'd be kind of fun to wear you know, especially get an Agent Smith one and be able to wear that. That would definitely be on the cool factor. Just to have fun with it, if nothing else. But I can't imagine them looking that great. I don't know. Okay. Oh, it says someone saying in the chat room, illegal in most of the United States to wear a mask in public? Are you serious? It's illegal in most of the United States to wear a mask in public? I didn't know that. That's a good one. Huh. Okay. Some people are going to get freaked out about this next article. And if you do, it's a sign of the times. You know, we've been talking already on the show a little bit about the future that's coming where they're going to be able to print us literally a liver, a heart, or there's a whole bunch of crazy stuff that they're doing. And it's some of it's good. But scientists have succeeded creating the first organism with what they're quoting is alien DNA. In normal DNA, which we can find within the genes of every organism, the twin strands of the double helix are bonded together with four bases known as T, G, A, and C. And what they were able to do in this new organism, the researchers added two new bases, X and Y, creating a form of DNA that, as far as everyone knows, has never occurred after billions of years of evolution on Earth or elsewhere in the universe. So what they did, they spliced it in. And it basically, it meshed. It worked. And they didn't expect it was going to work. And they're a little bit freaked out. They say this breakthrough should allow for the creation of highly customized organisms, bacteria, animals and humans. A little bit scary. This study, 15 years in the making, was carried out by scientists at the Scripps Research Institute and published in Nature Today. A semi-synthetic organism with an expanded genetic alphabet in normal DNA. So again, they go into what it took to do this. There's a write-up on nature.com and with the details here, but the scientists genetically engineered an E. coli bacterium to allow the new chemicals through the cell membrane. Then they inserted a DNA, what they call a plasmid, that contained a single XY base pair into the bacterium, and it bonded. So those of you that have done biology and some DNA stuff, you'll kind of understand this, but this is huge. So as the folks on Extreme Tech said, we're now officially playing God. And I don't know if I'd go that far, but this probably will have a lot of people freaked out big time. And at what point will there be legislation put forth that says you can't do this? But let's look at the potential here of what this could do. It could develop cancer treatments. It could fix broken DNA. There's just a whole bunch of medical stuff that could be going through it. And again, altering humans, you know, could get kind of crazy. So let's hope this stays in the lab. And because who knows what's going to happen. We could have the genesis here of the future of, you know, that movie Alien. we could be headed down that road. So we will see where this leads. But very interesting stuff on the medical and science front. All right, we're going to switch gears back. We're going to talk about some of the craziness going on in the space right now. if you're on Amazon and let's say that you see a product and maybe you have it, or maybe you've bought it and you want to write a review, you know, writing a review on Amazon is pretty easy. I've done a lot of reviews on Amazon and stuff. I bought this thing that I bought here for the studio, going to be writing a review up on that. But if you write a negative Amazon review, you could have a lawsuit put against you. Now, first of all, before I warned the company that I was going to be talking about this, I'm not the party involved, but I'm just going upon what's been reported in the Consumerist and also on this particular company's Facebook page. All I can go on what has been told so far here. But basically, in 2013, a gentleman by the name of T was helping a friend shop for a new router. And he went searching for one, and he found a company called MediaLink. And he said he was surprised to see two MediaLink routers at the top of the list. And, you know, we both would expect, who would we expect? D-Link, Linksys, Cisco. You know, those are the companies you expect for home consumer type routers. But MediaLink routers were front and center. And they had a huge 5,000 customer reviews. Now, 5,000 customer reviews on Amazon, that's a big, big, big number. So he's a little suspicious, and he says, well, what about the rest of the net is saying about this? So he went out and looked on the net, and he tried to find reviews on, you know, review sites. He obviously didn't find anything with us or, you know, a lot of other sites that are out there. Matter of fact, there was a lot of reviews on Amazon, but almost nothing the rest of the way on the internet. He also did some investigative work and kind of came up with that maybe they were using the guts. Again, this is what he deduced, not what I deduced. He deduced that they were using the guts of some other modem or some other router that was cheaper. And long story short, he wrote basically, hey, I think someone's writing reviews and I think this thing is actually this product. And needless to say, the lawyers over at the company called MediaLink are not at all happy. So they have sued him for a negative Amazon review. And then this company was stupid enough, in my opinion, to go out online and in Facebook and say, it's unfortunate so many people have been taken in with this product. I'm here to warn you. A lot of these reviews. And so that's what this guy had written. And then MediaBridge said all the lawyers speak and everything, and then basically we're trying to protect our reputation, blah 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 blah. And then today there's this huge list of people that have wrote in comments on a product that I don't know if I'm not familiar with this particular product, but they have, there's some people that wrote some positive stuff to them, but in the long run, what has happened here is Amazon has revoked their selling privileges and they're not allowed to sell on Amazon right now. So something is abreast here, but this company has, in my opinion, done a dumb thing by going out and suing this guy. So they had 5,000 reviews. This guy wrote a negative review, gave him a 1-star. And they sue this guy. He never bought the product. He just did the investigation on what was going on behind the product. So in my personal opinion, it would be wise to investigate very closely before you would buy anything from this company to make sure. And I'm not saying the product's bad. I have no idea about their product. But definitely people are aware now that there's something interesting going on here with this company. But you know, my opinion, go out and get yourself a router from Linksys or Cisco. You know, those are good routers that have a, you know, a brand name behind them that in my opinion you can trust. Not saying that you can't trust MediaLink, but I'm just saying those are brands that I would stick with. All right, let's talk about this NASA streaming cam. We talked a little bit about comments earlier that came from listeners of the show, and see if I can bring this up here and not get into a copyright violation. Probably be okay. So let me bring this up And oops, take that down. And can we do this here? Let's see if we can do it without. If I get an ad, I'm going to flip back. Okay, is it going to be able to start? For those of you that are watching, is it not going to start for me now? There's 18,000 people on the stream, but it's basically a HD video cam that's basically streaming from the International Space Station. Oh, come on now, how come you're not just starting? This is on Ustream, so I wonder if they're having some challenges here. So let me stop this. But I would recommend that you go over and check this live stream out. It's really cool. And again, I had it on today for a long time. It was working earlier. I don't know what's going on now, but it was fun to watch. And sometimes boring because it's, you know, there's not a lot to see, but sometimes there's some pretty spectacular views. All right, private Mars One colony project is down to 705 astronaut candidates. They've cut from 1,058 down to 705, and they're going to start doing interviews for their candidates that are going to be on their one-way trip to Mars. Also this summer, there's going to be an asteroid we're going to be able to take a peek at. It's called Asteroid 2013 UQ4. They thought it was initially it was an asteroid, but now it's a comet. And they're pretty excited about this and saying this summer we're going to have some pretty good views of this thing in the sky. So we'll keep you advised of that as time goes on. Also, a U.S. judge has lifted a temporary ban on Russian rocket engine purchases. So that's good news for United Launch Alliance. They're going to be able to continue to buy Russian-made rocket engines, although they do say that there is going to have to be... what the heck is that? That's some bug. Oh, man. How did he get in here? So those of you that were just watching, what I have in this room is I got really bright lights. And in Hawaii, just like anywhere, most other places in the country, termites are a bad problem. And they swarm. So that was the first one I've seen, and he made it in the house somehow, probably through that back area there, and he landed on my head. I wondered what the heck was on my head. So we here in Hawaii, I don't know how it is in the rest of the country, but we have to have termite treating every 5 years. They do ground treating. That's largely where they come in. They come in and drill through our pad and basically... Yeah, put whatever stuff they use to, and then we have termite traps as well. And we've been good up to this point, but when they swarm, they go to anywhere where there's a bright light, and obviously there's bright lights here in the studio. So that was a surprise. And usually when you get one, there's more, but I don't see any others in the studio. He must have sneaked in between the screen or something. But swarming termites are. It sucks. it is that time of year. Okay, so two new products have been introduced today. Adobe Voice, and this is, everyone's talking, giving rave reviews on this thing, and it's basically an app designed to help you answer and make, basically give you a storytelling tool. And it's for the iPad. The app combines a boring task of making slideshows with a fun iMovie trailer-esque feel. And the folks from Macworld are saying it's one of the most beautiful iPad apps that Adobe's made to date. And it's incredibly easy to use. I believe it's free. So that's been put out. And at the same time, Microsoft came out of the woodwork today at the same time with something called Office Mix. It's a screencasting tool. It's entered public preview. It's only been available, Office Mix has only been available privately. So it's an add-on to Office 2013 that allows users to record a presentation, a video, and screencast. You know, for years I've used Camtasia. And so I'm definitely going to have to check these because Camtasia, man, that sucker cost me about $150 a year to update it. And... so I definitely will be keeping an eye on this and giving this a try. But Office Mix and Adobe Voice are two products, very similar, I guess. and big reviews on that as well. How many of you have ever used the Lyft service? Lyft has a new premium service, hauls you around in high-tech style. It's been launched today in San Francisco. It costs about twice as much as the run-of-the-mill Lyft rides, but I guess it's a vehicle that's tricked out with tech and chargers and stuff like that. So some of their more experienced Lyft drivers will be driving these, and they're going to roll these out throughout the country as well. Also, how many of you keep, what do you guys do with your spare change you have in your pocket? Well, if I'm, what happens to my house is I bring it in, sit down on the counter, and I have a certain 10-year-old that's quite keen to seeing when loose change is laying around, and it gets scooped up, and it ends up in his, he's got a jar, you know, he's got all of his change in. And over the years, because he's been very meticulous in scooping up my change, you know, it's one of those small things that, you know, I let him get away with. He's accumulated quite a bit of, I'm sure if we, you know, 4 or 5 years of collecting my change, he's probably got $200-$300 in change in there, much to my wife's chagrin. But, there's a new app that'll let you make money off your spare change. And it's going to be called Spare Change. And basically what they're going to do is a company called Acorns has come up with a solution. It will let you automatically invest any spare change that you have from a purchase. Now, basically, if you go to a store and use your phone to buy a product, it allows you, like, let's say it's $9.23. It allows you to roll up to 10. They'll take, you'll pay for the transaction, and the spare change that you rolled up to will go in an investment account. So every day that you make purchases, and it's also used with your credit card as well. It just rounds up your total to the nearest dollar, and it invests your leftover amounts, again, into a portfolio you set up. Now, the company is going to charge 1% of what you earn to the portfolio, and it's also going to charge a flat fee of $1 per month. Now, depending on how much change you have, that could eat into your portfolio investment quite a little bit. But this is kind of smart. This is kind of a cool idea. So we'll see where this leads. Link will be up in the show notes on that. You can check it out. Also, if you like to contribute to political candidates, the FEC, Federal Election Commission, has said that political committees can accept Bitcoin donations. So in a 6-0 decision, you're going to be able to use your Bitcoins to fund your favorite politician. Over on TechDirt, there's an article about the copyright industry publishing a data-free report claiming pirate sites will damage computers. So what they're saying here is nearly all of the UK's favorite movie and TV piracy sites contain malware or credit card scams, according to a study published by the media industry. It analyzed 30 of the most visited sites offering access to copyright-infringing material and indicated only one of them was free of such threats. Now, again, the report was commissioned by the Industry Trust for Intellectual Property Awareness, whose members include Amazon, BBC Worldwide, HMV, BSkyB, Sony, and Walt Disney. But here's an interesting thing about this research study. They declined to name the sites. They didn't, we can't share that. That would be bad. That would cause people to go over and maybe do more piracy. So we can't share that. But those 30 sites we found, the 30 most popular, 29 of them are full of malware and are bad for you. I don't go out and look for torrent. I don't go out and look for media. I get what I can on my set-top boxes legally, and but I know a lot of folks go out and use sites like findanyfilm.com, a variety of different sites to find media. And have you guys ever had malware for downloading a movie or something? Have you had issues? Is your malware checker popped up and said, oh, this site's trying to steal blind from you? Have you ever had that happen? Love to hear from you. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address to send me your comments on any of the topics tonight. We definitely want to hear from you. All right, Marvell. They've been in the news for a long time. We've been following this case since 2009. A U.S. District Court has ordered the maker of the chip maker Marvell technology to pay Carnegie Mellon University $1.54 billion for infringing on two hard drive patents. And from now on, they got to pay him 50 cents a chip. And but $1.54 billion. Now, this is at the, it's a district court. And they're sure they're going to kick this one more time. But Carnegie Mellon could be set up to get a huge payday here from the Marvell Corporation if this when this finally you know makes it through the court process, which could be a couple more years if it gets appealed again. All right, German lawmakers want to interview Edward Snowden. German lawmakers have asked NSA leaker Edward Snowden to testify in their inquiry into surveillance of Chancellor Angela Merkel by the U.S. National Security Agency. So they've invited Snowden to testify. Do you think Snowden will travel to Germany? I don't think he will. It's an interesting development because, you know, we're pretty good friends with Germany. We have bases in Germany. And so this is an interesting move by the German government. So we'll see where this leads. How many of you have heard about this powdered alcohol called Palcohol, P-A-L-C-O-H-O-L? There's the founder or the designer of this or the creator of this product has put together a 16-minute video about it, giving you information. So for the adults out there that are interested in this, you can check out his defense on this product. Of course, you know, there's been lots of outcry from senators alike saying they don't want this product approved, want it withdrawn from the market. So if there's a good video on that, I'll have that up for you to check out. How many of you knew that Silk Road 2.0 is online? Apparently, the Silk Road 2.0 has over 13,000 drug listings. And I guess it's thriving. So I bet you the people that built this new drug trading site probably is trying to keep their tracks hid by the DEA and the Federal Justice Department. But apparently that site came up just a few days after the other one went down. So there's a bunch of them. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15... 15 different sites that have over 32,000 different listings on their collective sites. So the underworld of illicit drugs is still large and well. It's just pretty incredible what's happening here. At what point, we already know that in Colorado they legalized marijuana, and that experiment, we'll see how that ends up. But, you know, at what point will the DEA and stuff give up and just start taxing this stuff? It's hard to say. And I know people have mixed opinions on this all across the board, and I'm not going to weigh in at all. But definitely an interesting time in the space and how people are using the internet to basically order illicit drugs. Pretty crazy. All right, the FCC has fined Robocaller $2.9 million for making over 180 calls without permission. I love this. These Robocallers are crazy, and they whack those folks for $2.9 million. It's $16,000 per unlawful call. It's fantastic. And these were the ones that they were able to determine were actually made and there was a complaint on. So... maybe this will be a warning to those robocallers not to be doing that. There's a good article over on Yahoo talking about the iPhone 6 camera could take super resolution photos. This has been kind of making the rounds today on the internet as well. And we know that they are not necessarily going to change the camera, but they're going to be doing some processing to the video and how it actually gets processed once it, you know, an image is snapped. So, again, a little bit of a patent application. Wait to hear about a patent that Amazon got. It's going to completely blow your mind. Any of you that are photographers out there, get ready to get angry. And I'll share with that with you here in a few minutes. hackers are really going crazy on stealing ATM information. You know, like, you know, my particular credit cards, I've had three replaced in, I think, a year. They were somewhere swiped or the data was able to be retained. And really, the pilfering of financial accounts and identification numbers is at an all-time high. They say it's probably $1 billion worth of fraud a year, credit card fraud and so forth. But the thieves are getting smart. You know, we know all know about phony card readers, but now these guys are infiltrating themselves into these businesses and they're actually dropping malware into the software. They're going in as techs, but then they basically are hooking up a, you know, dropping a USB stick on them and these machines are calling home to mama and so forth. So this is a big, big business, criminal business, and it's seeing no signs of let up. Maybe next year when they start implementing some of the changes to the credit card, that'll help. I don't know. On the other side of the pond, over in Russia, Vladimir Putin is restricting naughty language and also unregistered bloggers. We've talked about how Putin has made bloggers register, and he's now basically saying you can't say anything naughty. And if you do, individuals caught using foul language face a fine of up to $70. Well, officials can be fined up to $40 and businesses nearly $1,400. They face a higher fine and a 3-month suspension of business for a repeated offense. This is for putting stuff on the web that's naughty. And they also quietly signed a new law requiring popular online voices to register with the government. So if you're a voice person, you have to go over there and yeah, I would have to go and register with the Russians. And of course, the blogger law, it specifies that any site with more than 3,000 visitors daily will be considered a media outlet and they have to register and they'll be subject to making fact-checking articles and they have to keep track of everything that's been said on the site for 6 months, the internet service providers that provide data services for these companies. So KGB's alive and well in Russia. Apple today has also announced a process, or they've outlined a process for handing over your data to law enforcement. They basically said, this is what we do and how we do it. So I have a link up to that in the show notes. You can go over to Apple and look at those details. So it shouldn't surprise you what they do and what they won't do. They do say they can't track. They will not track. Can't use Find My iPhone for a government agency. They won't allow them to do that, which I thought was kind of interesting. All right, Moon Orbiter captures stunning 21st century Earth rise. And of course, we know that there hasn't been a lot of pictures of Earth from the moon. We just haven't had spacecraft over there to do that. We know that Apollo 8 astronaut Bill Anders in 1968 shot an incredible picture that most everyone on this planet has seen. But the LROC pointed away from the moon in order to calibrate its position and was able to score some pictures of Earth rising. And it got a couple of them. It was pretty cool shots. Nothing in super high detail. But link will be up in the show notes for you to check that out on your own, okay? All right, over on Ars, surveillance camera has cleared a woman hit by a police car. This lady got T-boned by a police officer that ran a stop sign. And he basically had her arrested because he was suspicious that she was drinking. Long story short, she wasn't drinking. She was sober. She sustained serious injuries. And after the CC cams video was reviewed, it was very obvious that the county sheriff, a deputy, blew a stop sign and T-boned this lady. So this is a good thing for this gal to be saved by a CC cam. Otherwise, she may not have been able to get out of this. This guy may have been able to get away with what happened. National Geographic, in conjunction, I believe, with MIT. Was it MIT? Let me make sure I give credit where credit's due here. MIT and the Harvard Smithsonian have created a pretty stunning simulation of the universe's 13 billion year evolution. And it's a pretty cool video. Worthy of your 4 minutes and 12 seconds to watch that. And it's been getting rave reviews today. There's a lot of science behind this. They basically said it would take a standard desktop computer 20,000 years to render what they've done in this video. So worthy of a look. Again, the link will be up in the show notes tonight for you at geeknewscentral.com. Speaking, I should have brought this up earlier on Snowden. Apparently, there's rumors that an avalanche of new documents are going to go online next week. So it could get more embarrassing for Uncle Sam. iPhone 6 dumb unit hints at a curved display. So we may be seeing a curved display with the upcoming iPhone 6. More stuff continues to leak. The picture that was released come from a person with a reliable track record. And it looks to me like it's not scooped. It's an overbend, which is kind of interesting. There hasn't been a lot of chatter about a curved display, so this will be interesting to see if it actually happens. But that's the rumor that's on the street. In Japan, it's illegal to own a handgun. Now, hunters can. They have to be specially licensed. Police officers have weapons, of course. But a Japanese police have arrested a man with 5 3D printed guns at home. And so this guy made the guns using a 3D printer he bought online for about $590. And he downloaded the designs from a file sharing site. But what he really did, stupid, was he posted a video online showing off his printing skills. And that obviously raised the attention of the police department. And he is now arrested. Japan has some of the lowest gun rates of gun death in the world, with around 0.06 firearm fatalities per 100,000 people. And very, very few people. But don't ask about knives and suicides. That's a whole different number. They don't have guns, but they like to use knives, and with people off themselves, they often jump off buildings. But this guy is definitely in trouble. We'll see where this leads, but probably a big no-no to 3D print a gun in Japan. Sprint is ready to throttle its unlimited data plans, but only in congested areas. Basically, they're saying the top 5% of data users in congested areas starting in June will likely be throttled. So if you've been enjoying that unlimited data from Sprint and you use a lot of it, be aware that this change could be coming, okay? So just be aware of that. Uber and Google are just getting started. This week, Google announced a huge update to its Map app on Android and iOS, bringing new tools such as lane guidance, along with one particular intriguing feature, Uber integration. If you have the ride-sharing service app on your phone, Uber will show up as an option when you search for public transit directions, and you'll be able to jump into the Uber app from Maps to order a ride. So that's kind of cool. So if you use the Uber service and you're looking for a taxi, you might be able to hail yourself an Uber car. All right, boy, the folks in the PR world seem to be rejoicing. I really didn't know much about this, but Katie Cotton was the gal over at Apple who basically, people say, ruthlessly run worldwide corporate communications at Apple. And often people say that the Apple communications department could have been run by an answer machine that simply answered and said no comment. But apparently she's been terrorizing tech journalists for years, and actually tracks people pretty close, and they didn't say she keeps a list, but it almost comes across that she may have. There were some articles that were posted yesterday that were actually taken down by the New York Times. Apparently they went a little too far in criticizing her. Probably they're worried where she's going to go work next. She has twin boys or girls, and they say she's taking off to raise her children, but we will see where this leads, but I guess the tech journalists in the Valley are happy to see her go. Of course, Apple's also in the news. Their talks to buy Beats Electronics. Dr. Dre must be pretty excited. They're talking multi-billion dollars in business. $3.2 billion is what the price tag is. That's the rumor that's on the street. So we'll see what happens here. Maybe Beats will be owned by Apple here pretty shortly. They sell Beats in the Apple store, so this should not come as a surprise. Hey, California smartphone kill switch bill passes a second Senate vote. So this is good. We could be getting remote kills. Those of you in California will be getting a remote kill switch on your smartphone. And I'd like to see this go nationwide. I really would. It would stop a lot of the crazy stuff going on with theft on mobile devices, or at least maybe slow it down. Now, the most ridiculous, absolutely most ridiculous story of the day, Amazon, photographers, get ready to scream. Amazon was granted a patent for taking photos against a white background. On March 18th, the USPTO granted a patent to Amazon for photographing people and products against a white background. Amazon patent 876045 grants Amazon sole rights to the studio arrangement and lists in its intricate detail how you can take an image on a white background using a range of lights, background materials, and a camera. You have got to be kidding me. This thing is on the list of the top 10 stupid patents that I think I have ever heard being approved. The USPTO gets its revenue from issuing patents. It denied one of our patents. We didn't get through. But I guess if you're an Amazon and you spend lots of money funneling to the USPTO, does that mean I can't have a white background here and take a picture? I have to pay Amazon a royalty? You got to be kidding me. So yes, that wraps up our content for today. I told you I had a lot of stuff to go through. Oh, we have a patent system that is absolutely, unequivocally broken beyond belief. We really, really do. And it's just insane. I mean, it's mind-numbing, to be honest with you. All right, comments on the show, geeknews@gmail.com. You can leave a voice comment on the website as well by clicking on the leave a voice comment link. We want you to stay subscribed, be subscribed, share the show with everyone. Tell everyone about our promo codes. Go out and get some flowers from Pro Flowers. And on the next show, we're going to share with you a pretty cool initiative by Stanford University. And if you're a business guy, we may have an opportunity for you to get some continuing education. We'll talk about that on the next show. But it's been my pleasure to bring in Geek News Central. Played around with the cameras a little bit. Wasn't looking at the right one all times. We'll get what they call them, tally lights up, so that I know which camera I'm supposed to be on this weekend. But thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. It's been my pleasure to bring this show. Geeknews@gmail.com is a place to send your comments. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.